Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
High noon here on Jones and Keith. W-E-E-I.
This is apropos of a couple things.
Yeah, the clown music could apply to the Celtics.
It could.
But that's not who it applies to right now. No. It is Justin Turpin, W-E-E-I, Pure Hoops with Turp joining us here at High Noon. We'll get to the Celtics in a moment here, Turp.
Yeah, give it to me.
But there are people... isolate that.
Let's do it.
There are people out there... Isolate that. There are people out there who are lost big hunks of money, Turp.
Hams.
On your Saquon PS5s. Barkley. Well, yeah, I guess it's really more potential winnings
than actual lost
wages out there. On your Saquon Barkley bozo touchdown
bet.
So
first of all, how dare you?
Yeah, first of all, exactly.
Yeah, I was going to come in with the prepared statement, but I feel like these things are better to just kind of off the heart.
Yeah.
I just want to apologize.
You don't want to look like you're reading from a statement.
No.
And there's a drive to deep left field, and it'll be a home run.
Apologize to you guys. Apologize to the listeners.
Deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
It's a home run.
Yeah,
so
trust me.
That'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Needed me to come through, and I didn't. So, good to accept.
All right, so you can't pick Saquon again.
No, I don't think I can pick this week, to be honest.
Oh, you want out this week?
Let me pick Jonathan Taylor. Let me pick Jonathan Taylor or Josh Jacobs. They're just ahead of the stats.
They're on bye.
Okay, so I'll get Josh Jacobs.
You would pick Jonathan Taylor on bye this week.
Unreal.
Yeah. So
what do you think? Should it be?
I'll take a suspension.
No. I think it's a
must win.
Yes.
It's a must win, yes. And then we're either going to
You've
do
been
a
put on notice.
Okay.
I think you're put on notice. Your back's against the wall.
Yeah.
And how are you going to respond?
It's a bad mistake. So
it is.
If it is a benching, I totally understand it.
Yeah. And what made it worse was the Monday Night Football part of it.
I don't like that he's asking for a bench.
No, you're not getting a bench. Yeah, getting a bench.
I don't like that he wants to get benched.
It's all or nothing.
I'm 1-10 or whatever. The morale is
low. No, we know. We know.
1-9, whatever it is.
Yeah, 1-9. Not
and
great.
I've started to cheat. I've started to take like minus odds players.
Yes.
So bad.
Almost exclusively.
I think Saquon was plus
Saquon
money.
Was
oh,
plus
that's
money
right.
That is
true.
And you guys gave me credit for it on Friday. I was like, all right, this is not going to go well. Yeah. That was when I knew it.
Yeah, so you're not getting the benching you want over there.
No.
You masochist.
So I think
you're gonna play one more week, and then your back's against the wall. And if you don't hit this week, then
we'll either do a four-way parlay or we'll just have Shine.
I was looking ahead. The Jahmyr Gibbs odds aren't that bad. It's like -170 or something. Which is,
it has to be -135 or better.
I say it's Terp's pick. Terp, you do whatever you want with that
my
pick.
Life here.
Terp, you do whatever.
It has to be a touchdown for him. Can he pick a game?
No. Touchdown. Yeah, touchdown parlay.
Bozo touchdown parlay.
Nick, we're trying to make it easier on him.
No.
It's a good idea.
No, Terp, it's
you
your
think
pick.
He can pick a game?
I don't know, maybe.
Turp, it's your pick.
I did hang on Survivor pretty long. Not as long as you guys.
No,
but
I'm still going. So
yeah, that's
no,
true.
No one as long as Keith.
That's right.
No one for,
I've heard that before.
No one for lasting a long time. So, yeah, no, I would say you do whatever you want. It's your Bozo touchdown pick for now.
Okay.
This is potentially the last week, so you do whatever you want with your Bozo touchdown life there.
Okay. All right, give me
you
Josh
pick
Jacobs.
Whatever you want.
Okay. You don't have to do it now.
Lock it in.
No, I'll do it. I'm getting way ahead of this. Just give me Josh Jacobs.
Plug that right into the document.
Scored in like every game except for one.
Just Josh Jacobs. Yep. He's Josh Jacobs.
Give
he's ending injury.
That's it.
Confirmed no touchdown.
Very hurt in practice.
All right. The Celtics, by the way, Terp, another loss last night. Another bad loss to the Sixers specifically, just like opening night. They had a win sandwiched in there in the middle over Philly. You look up at the standings. We're 12 games in. They're 5-7. They are not only missing the playoffs entirely, they're not even in the play-in as of today. There's four teams worse than them in the East. They are the three-win Hornets, the one-win Nets, the one-win Pacers, the one-win Wizards. Other than that, that's where the Celtics reside.
Not great.
How bad has it been?
I mean, the clutch is what I look at with this team, and it happened again last night. They're 2-5 in clutch games this year, and the NBA defines the clutch as a game within 5 points in the final 5 minutes, and they just can't win those games. And if you look at the advanced numbers with them, they're 21st in offensive rating, 28th in defensive rating, a minus 32.7 net rating. That's points per 100 possessions. That's atrocious. They've been outscored by, I think it's 18 points, the second most in the league in those clutch moments. And you're seeing it's not like those, you get a lot of leeway because you're talking about a team that's figuring itself out, a younger team. In those moments, it's not. Mm. And last night, it was Derek White and Jaylen Brown. It's like your most established players need to show up in that sense, and they're not. Now, I understand like everyone's learning new roles. It's still a new feel, and it's a new system, but you got to find a way to win those close games because you're going to be playing in a lot of them.
And not that Jason Tatum hit every buzzer shot he ever took. Obviously, like we talked about it quite a bit last year and some of the numbers that he has had there. But is that what you think is the biggest issue right now is for guys like Brown and White to now be like in an elevated role and like our game on the line? And even if they are the ones taking the shot, just having somebody like Tatum out there would cause all kinds of attention.
I don't necessarily know if it's that because they're two defensive rebounds away from being 500.
Yeah.
I mean, instead you're 5-7 and you're sitting at your worst record, worst start to a season since the 2014 season. You're two offense or two defensive rebounds away. Just get a rebound. Yeah. Like that's kind
well, that's
what
what's tough because last night's the game where they actually have the rebounding edge for the game. Yeah. But then when you need one or two, you desperately need one, you can't get it.
It was one of their best rebounding nights last night. But everyone's going to remember that offensive rebound that cost them the game because that's when that stuff matters. Like you can do it, and obviously, like there's so much that has to go wrong during a game to be in that situation in the first place. So it wasn't perfect, and last night we saw it was the shooting. But you got to get those rebounds in those situations. Like, that cannot happen. It's cost them two games.
Jaylen Brown, I thought, would carry them to more wins than he has through 12 games. I thought he individually would look better. How would you grade Jaylen's start to the year?
I mean, I think he's been great. He's fourth in scoring, total scoring this year. He's doing just about everything he can. It's like when you're looking down the roster,
What about winning games and taking over late in games? And, like, he needs to be that guy without Tatum. So the numbers are the numbers. That's fine. You know, last night they needed baskets down the stretch, and he wasn't providing them. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm more talking about that. And they're 5-7. He's the best player on the team. He's got to wear some of that.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? The Orlando game, he only had 2 points in the fourth quarter, the Friday night loss. Last night, I think it was only three. Like, yeah, he has to be better in those scenarios, but no one else is hitting shots. They're kind of forced. They're throwing two at him. There's really nothing he can really do. So I think part of it is he needs the players around him, and he's not exempt for this. Like, he hasn't been perfect. He's been very good, hasn't been perfect, especially down the stretch.
But if he needs players around them, then what is he? You know, and
well, then he's Zach LaVine. He's right. Like one of these guys that could put up points on a bad
and
team.
And I thought he was better than that.
Same,
so I thought he has the luxury of being surrounded by great players and typically Tatum when he's healthy, but I thought he was a lot more than that. If he's just a guy who, when they double and triple team him, they erase him and teammates have to beat them, then what is he? And I that's disappointing to me.
Yeah, I mean, you said it earlier, though. Like, they had Jordan Walsh playing down the stretch, and he's been great, but, like, Jordan Walsh and Namir Shkaita's in your closing lineup. Like, what do you want him to do? You know, like, he hasn't been perfect.
Score.
But, like,
I want him to take over.
Those
and
guys
not,
are kind of
maybe
not
try to dunk
moment.
At the end of the game. Maybe instead of trying to dunk and, you know, put somebody on a poster, get the basket, lay it up, like, go with the easier hoop. Like, I don't know. I think there's a lot he could have done in that game last night.
And they try to get it to him at the end, and they blew it up, and it's a 40-foot shot, and the final minute there, and you know, the execution just hasn't been there.
Obviously, the Big Ben, we knew going into the year was going to be an issue. I think Cada's more than fine. Like, I like Cada. Yeah. I think Cada's
he's been one of the
pretty good
positive developments.
Yeah, especially, like, in the modern NBA. This isn't, you know, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Shaquille O'Neal. Like, right. Those guys aren't really in the league. So I'll take Cada. That's fine. Sort of the ups and downs of Josh Minot. Like, you know, there are certain nights where the guy looks great. There are other nights where not so much. I guess that's just kind of what you're going to get, right? But, like, where are you at with him specifically right now?
The collection of wings is really interesting to me as well, because you've seen this with Hugo Gonzalez, where mm-hmm. he's had good games and then hasn't really played the next game. Josh Minot's been great since he got inserted to the starting lineup, but only 8 minutes last night and didn't play in the second half. And I think that's kind of the luxury they have when they have a lot of depth with, you know, like with Jordan Walsh playing mm-hmm. well and Sam Hauser as well. But, I mean, it's part of it. I think it's his first time in an everyday role. He hasn't really played consistently, so that's going to be part of the learning curve. But yeah, for the most part, he's been good. It's just these last couple, you know, he struggled a little bit.
So the fact that we're dealing with Minot and Hugo Gonzalez and Jordan Walsh, who I'm sorry, the more he plays, the worse sign it is for the team. Like, I
he's been good though. He's been, by the numbers, the last four games, he's been
his defensive
very good
numbers I know are allegedly good. That's a real small sample size. Like, his numbers last night on Tyrese Maxey, for instance, are really good. I take Tyrese Maxey 1,000 times out of 1,000 in that matchup.
Shot 1 of 9 against him, though.
Say it again.
Tyrese Maxey shot 1 of 9 against Jordan Walsh. He forced 3 consecutive stops down the stretch.
It's one game, and I would tend to think that that's a small sample size with Walsh.
No, it's
Let's see.
A small sample size, but like, he hasn't had much opportunity.
No, I think for a good reason. If you have good players, he doesn't need to play a lot. So I think the fact that you're playing those guys on the wing, Minot, who I actually been pretty impressed with, Hugo, who does nothing for me, Jordan Walsh, same. Like, the fact they're playing so much, that you do go back to the offseason and you go, you know, you could have had actual players on this team. You didn't have to be playing those guys, some combination of them, 30 minutes a night. You didn't need to do that. And it's just, it's odious to go back and look at the way they approach this offseason to play guys like that every night. And that's a big part of their problem.
Yeah, I mean, I look more at the size as well. Like, part of the reason the Cada numbers are so skewed is because they don't really have anything behind them. And Luka Garza's been better the last two games, but like, you see what happens when you have a center on the floor that can make plays. That's why the Cada numbers and the on-off and the plus-minus look so good, because he's actually a traditional center. They have some size, and they can kind of run their offense a little bit differently. That's why they kind of need him out there. And again, the Cada thing has been great, him developing into a player that you think can possibly contribute on the next iteration of the championship contending roster. And, you know, that might not be as a starter, right? Like, right now, I'd probably feel more comfortable with him as your number two, but you don't have anything behind him. And I think that's kind of why these numbers are so skewed. And that's not to take anything away from Cada, because he has been good. But I mean, it more so says like what this roster is. And like, you're getting just serviceable play from Cada, and it's making him look like one of the, you know, best bigs in the league.
What else can Mazzulla do in your mind? Is there anything else he can do? Is it tinkering with lineups? Is it anything specific that maybe could spark a change?
I mean, I think he's going to continue to tinker with the lineups. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Jordan Walsh starts tonight over Josh Minot. And
did Minot play at all in the second half? He started in the second half. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. And then if it doesn't work with Walsh, it's back to Minot.
Hot hand kind of thing.
I think it's spinning the dial with him, but I'm disappointed in him too. I thought Mazzulla would show more as a coach. I thought Brown would look like a lead dog. I thought White and Pritchard wouldn't stink. They have. I thought they'd make shots. I guess White made some last night. Like, I just thought more out of all these guys, Mazzulla included. Like, they've all been disappointed. As bad as the bottom of the roster is, and I blame ownership for that, and as crappy as their approach was, selling off pieces to save the new owner some money, which I think is pathetic, as bad as all that is, the real problem is the guys who are supposed to be good aren't performing. I mean, that's their real issue.
I mean, look at the first half last night. I mean, Luka Garza had more points than Derek White and Peyton Pritchard combined.
I mean, those guys are hurting them big time, and that might just be exposed because they're in roles that they're not supposed to be. I think Derek White, we mentioned this last week, like, I thought he might be an all-star. I mean, the guy's on the Olympic team, for God's sakes. I thought he would step up and be, you know, closer to like 20-plus points per game. And again, in the modern NBA, that's not even that wild, right? Like, he's averaging like 15. He's not shooting very well. Peyton Pritchard has not been able to find the three-point shot all year long. Go from sixth man of the year to, hey, you're now in the starting lineup, you need to be our third leading scorer. I don't know. I think those guys weren't really ready for that. Like, I think they're worse based on their expectations than even like Cada or, for honestly, like Minot even is.
And I understand that they're doing other things, right? Like, Derek White's been great defensively. Mm-hmm. Peyton Pritchard's been great moving the ball. They've both been rebounding. But this team needs them to score.
Yes.
I mean,
oh, 100%.
That's the reality. Yeah. Like, they can do all these great things, and that stuff's great. And like, you can't overstate the value of that. But they need them to score just with the makeup of this roster. So they need them to be better. And at some point, it's like you have to start getting a little concerned. It's 12 games now. It's a healthy enough sample size where it's like, okay, what's going on here? And I was thinking about it, like maybe it is the more aggressive play style they're playing defensively, where they're taking more risk and they're picking up full court. Like maybe you're getting a little bit more tired and you don't have your legs under you. Because like I just don't understand how two guys that led the league in threes last year, were both top 10, all of a sudden, you know, can't buy a bucket. And I understand they're in different roles and they're creating for each other. But even last night, like Derek White missed how many wide open corner threes?
Yeah.
Like three or four of them? Mm-hmm. Like that's the best shot in basketball.
Right.
And you would trust him to make those.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are texting, why doesn't Simon start? Would you make a switch?
I think he needs to play more. We're talking about this offense, and they're not doing enough offensively. And you have a guy like Anthony Simons who can just explode. I mean, he's top eight, I believe, in three-pointers made, and he's done that in a limited role. They need to play him more.
He's been a little better, too, with the ball than I thought. Like, he had a nice play with his left hand going to the hoop last night where I was like, oh, okay. I kind of thought he was more, you know, spot-up shooter and less to his game. So I've been impressed with that out of him. I wanted Pritchard to start at the beginning of the year. You wanted Pritchard off the bench, Keith.
Yeah, I want Simons to start 100%, and Simons is shooting 41% from three, and he is an offensive player.
So like,
they need that.
Sixth in threes made.
Yeah, in a vacuum, is that what I want? Probably not.
I don't know if that is the be all end all, but I'm saying that's a place to start.
They're 5-7 and make a switch. Yeah, that might not be a bad way to go about it.
Especially the way we're talking about the offense. Like they need scoring. That's the reality of it. There's not a ton of guys on this team that are really natural scorers, and you know we're talking about that four really, like with Jordan Walsh and Josh Minot, like. They've been hitting their corner threes to their credit, but you know, you're not expecting them to score night in and night out for you. Same thing with Cade and Garza. Like, they kind of just play down the post. And, I mean, that Cade three last night, he makes those in warm-ups.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's a lot different.
The one last night, that was
wide open.
It almost hit the rim. I mean, that was pretty good. It almost grazed the rim last night.
You grab a little bit of rim. I mean, tonight they are playing Memphis, another bad team.
Mess.
They are real bad. What do you ends up happening with Ja Morant? He's been terrible. Plus, there's all like the whole sideshow with him. But, like, you could put up with it if he was playing like an all-NBA player. But all he does is, like, turn it over and miss shots now.
I could have sworn I saw this stat. I'd have to go back and double check it. But over the last like four games, he has more turnovers than made field goals.
Yeah,
like,
that sounds right.
Mess.
He's been really bad. They still have Jaren Jackson, and then the rest of their roster is nothing.
It feels like they've been stuck in like a constant injury bug for like 3 years too.
Yeah.
Like they were like set like a record for most different starting lineups.
They need to blow it up.
He's front and center with that, and clearly he's not engaged.
No,
and that's an issue.
They're one of the few teams in the NBA worse than the Celtics.
But they have this stretch of games. So right now they're two games under 500, and they have Memphis, they have the Clippers who haven't been good, and then they have the Nets for two games in a row. Like you almost need to like.
But this is already the stretch where you thought they'd be fattening up, right?
Once
they got through the Rockets game, this is where you thought they'd start winning games, and they're not.
And it's the close games again. Like they had a chance with Orlando, they had a chance last night, they had a chance against Utah.
I mean, losing to Utah
was bad.
A killer. That was probably the worst.
Another
game of the year.
Offensive or late offensive rebound. Wow. Like, and we knew it was going to be an issue, but there are certain times where it can't happen. Like
yeah,
it cannot
get,
happen.
We need to get one. Right.
Well, that's another thing you'd like Jalen to do is box out. You know. So I mean that's another one where I thought both the Philly losses were so bad. I thought the opening night. This one last night, the Jazz loss individually is worse.
But
I hated both of these Philly losses. And in fairness, the Sixers have been better than I thought they were going to be this year at 7-4. But that's still frustrating to me. Let's say this is what they are, Terp. You know, they are the 11 seed in the East. And Jason Tatum's ready to come back. What do they do?
Again, I think the conversation between him coming back and how they're playing are completely separate. Like, if this is where they're at, I think it's actually might be a positive to bring him back because you're not expecting him to put on his cape and lead them to the playoffs and play playoff minutes. Like, I guess the only thing you wouldn't want is his first minutes back to be, like, high leverage playoff minutes or games trying to get in. Like, you probably wouldn't want him playing in those in his first game back, right? You'd probably want a little bit lesser.
I'd be fine with that. I mean, you could still manage his minutes, but I hope he comes back to a good team and he's playing to make them either improve their standing in the Eastern Conference or to help go on a run in the Eastern Conference. Like, I hope he comes back to a good team, but it doesn't look like that's what it's going to be.
And I don't think looking at, like, the record, if they are playing bad and, like you said, they're towards the bottom, like outside of the play, and I don't think that should be a reason that you don't bring him back. I think any minutes that he can get on the floor to relearn his body, to get reacclimated, just see the floor is a positive, no matter what the sense is. And obviously, he's not going to come in and be playing 30, 40 minutes a game. Like, he's
There's examples of both, right? Like Kevin Durant, same injury. He missed the entire season. They just put him on ice, and they brought him back the next year, and then he was kind of good to go. Different injury, but didn't, like, Paul George and Gordon Hayward, those were, like, horrific injuries. It wasn't Achilles. But I think they came back and did, like, a 10 games or something like that, and it's then like we're ready assignment. For the next season. So,
well, I just think it'd be interesting if Tatum wants to play and they want to shut him down because they want to – they're in the lottery and they want to improve their lottery
standing. You can do both, though. Like, you play him, like, 18 minutes.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, he helps you, but he's not closing the game. They're still going to give up an offensive board. They're still going to end up losing a lot of those games, even if he plays.
I think that would be the most interesting push and pull. And unfortunately for them, I think that's right what they're on track for outside of the play-in right now. So every week at this time, we talk to Terp, Justin Turpin from WEEI. You can check him out at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter. And we'll talk to you next week, Terp, hopefully, after you've hit on one of these bozo picks.
This is a must
this
win.
This is a must win.
You know, you can type right into the document whenever you want. If you want to lock in Josh Jacobs,
it's
go right ahead.
Josh Jacobs, that's what we're going to do.
Although, so you already did do it.
What are the odds on
that? We had people texting saying, hey, Terp, Josh Jacobs is on my fantasy team. Take that pick back.
I'm sorry.
He's like, yeah, same. I don't like it.
It doesn't bother you at all that the Eagles were calling out their runs before they were running them?
Well, he still got in.
He did.
No,
still
he
get
did
in.
At the get end in of the there. Game, they called it out. On he's like, it changed how I wanted to run the ball.
On the fourth down play, they blew it up. Yeah, no, it's a lot of teams. The Falcons were crying about the Patriots simulating the snap count. The Ravens,
Josh Jacobs, getting
blamed for that, and then this Packers Eagles thing. There's been a lot of that lately.
Do you want to guess the odds,
Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs anytime touchdown.
-240,
-220,
-320.
Love it.
-320.
Oh, that's an anchor leg. That's an anchor leg.
I'm doing my part.
One of us is going to have to take like a +250
look,
to offset
just to
it.
Make any bank
Nick, you
at all.
Shouldn't change what we're doing.
Yeah.
Nick, you've been pretty good. Billy, you've
we're
got some wins in there.
We're PS5.
Yeah, right, exactly. We're paying money back in now.
I think all time we're still up, though.
We are.
We would be.
We're set significantly.
Like you still are. Last year,
we'd really be up if we didn't have your pick last week. Yeah, we'd really be sitting on piles of cash.
Flying high.
So there you go. That's Terp every Wednesday at high noon. Pure Hoops with Justin Turpin. 617-779-7937. You can dial us up. We'll get back into the Patriots.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Terp, good stuff. That was Mike Vrabel talking about Aaron Glenn, year one with the New York Jets. Don't forget, Vrabel interviewed with the Jets back on January 3rd. Things could have gone much differently, as we've discussed on a What If Wednesday.
Very different.
Very, very different.
Yeah.
On a What If Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. Rob Gronkowski talking to the media right now, signing his one-day contract to retire as a member of the New England Patriots.
Great idea by Ninkovich this morning. He said maybe you let him play on Thursday. Maybe one day, one game. One game contract.
I don't think they're going to have Hooper. Right?
So they could use Gronk for a game.
I think he's in concussion protocol.
And then bring Hooper back, yeah. That would work out nicely.
Kraft, I guess, said he should go in to the Patriots Hall of Fame on the first ballot, I'd say.
I would agree. Yeah, pretty good.
But anyway, that's going on now. Anything interesting, we'll be sure to pass it along. Here on, well, what is not a Patriots Friday, but it sort of functions as a Patriots Friday with the game tomorrow. We're talking to Mike Onwenu of the Patriots. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. You can look for the new lower prices every day tags throughout the store and save on the items that you buy most. Mike Onwenu, how you doing this week?
What's up? I'm doing good.
We're excited to see you guys on Thursday night. The whole country gets a look at you against the Jets. And we're excited to see you in these uniforms that you guys are going to be sporting on Thursday night. How do you feel about the uniforms you guys are going to be wearing?
Yeah, I like them. I think they're really cool. Definitely up there with the top uniforms we've worn.
What is the best uniform you guys have worn?
In my opinion, I like the 2017 all white out, and then I will put these next to second.
Yeah, I like these a lot. They came out, there's like, what, 8 teams have new ones this year. You guys were one of them. You might have the best one. They're calling them the Nor'easter. So you get the white helmets.
Yeah, I agree.
I like them a lot.
They've grown on me.
I know. I like them more and more.
The more I see them, the more they've grown on me. Do you have like and you are a pretty traditional uniform at Michigan, which are great uniforms. Do you have a favorite kind of all-time uniform if you were extracting the Patriots and the ones you've worn? Is there one that you really like or stands out from childhood or anything?
No, I don't have one of those.
You guys are on, obviously, a nice win streak, 7 in a row. Are you a superstitious person at all? Like, is there things that, because you're on a winning streak, you got to keep doing, whether it's, you know, meals or clothes or anything like that?
No, not at all. I'm not superstitious.
What do you do on a short week? Like logistically, without giving up any big secrets, we asked Hunter Henry about this on Monday, like, you're a veteran now. You know how to prepare on a short week. What are like some tricks or tips that you've figured out to get yourself ready on a short week?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is really just going to be that sleep and hydration. I think definitely for us coming from our away game, coming from Florida, being hot, humid, just preparing, getting that sleep, and then getting your body feeling back to shape to go back out there and play another game.
Do you like Thursday night football?
Yeah, I do. It provides a challenge. You know, both teams have to prepare the same way or is on a short week. So it really just lays it on the line for the game.
We have started to externally, I don't know about you guys internally, but externally we started to look at the standings in the AFC and where the Patriots line up. And Damian Woody the other day had the comment, the road to the Super Bowl goes through Foxborough in the AFC. How much are you starting to look at, if at all, what the other teams in the conference, the Colts, the Broncos, even teams like the Chiefs, how much do you start paying attention to that this time of year?
Yeah, you're aware of it. But, I mean, for us, you know, the next game is the most important one. So, you know, our focus is on the next game and preparing and winning that one.
How good was it to see the or to get the running game going and watch Travion Henderson? You guys opened up some holes for him, and he had some real long runs on Sunday.
Yeah, watch him run away. That felt good. You know, that's probably the only time it's acceptable to watch the play as an O-lineman. But, you know, did our job and created those holes for him.
What do you think of Tonga, his lead blocking? How would you grade that?
Yeah, Tonga is legit. Tonga is one-on-one. You know, I think whenever he's on the field, somebody's going to get hit. Somebody's going to be on the ground. So, you know, only good things can come from that.
What would you do if you lined up, across from him? If you had to play on the other side of the ball and you had to line up across from him, what would you do to negate his lead blocking? Yeah.
I don't even know. It'll probably be a lot of helmet paint chips flying around on that hit. But, it's going to be a body for a body.
What can you tell us about the Jets defensive front? I know Quinton Williams, one of the best in the league, just got traded away. But as for the guys that are still there, what can you tell us about them?
Yeah, they definitely have a good young group. Edge guys are playing at a high level right now. Interior guys are playing well. So it's going to be a good challenge.
Okay. Mike Onwenu and the Pats back on the field tomorrow. Quick turnaround, taking on the New York Jets. They got those nice Nor'easter uniforms. We'll be watching. Best of luck this week, Mike, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Mike Onwenu joining us every other Patriots Friday. Which is kind of on a Wednesday here today, leading into the game tomorrow. A lot of paint chips flying around. I like that.
A lot of paint chips flying around. That's good.
Those uniforms have grown on me. Like, I've seen them a little bit out in the wild, people wearing, like, the uniforms, the hoodies, the hats, or the jerseys, rather, the hoodies, the hats. So I've seen that, and then...
I don't even know how you describe that color. It's like a blue-gray kind of combined.
Nor'easter. It's like an icy blue.
Oh, an icy
blue.
Maybe an icy blue. I like it quite a bit. I think it's going to pop today.
Like I said, I like those Celtics uniforms last night. They didn't get a win.
No, that was probably part of the reason they lost.
But I prefer these the more we've gone along. So that's Mike Onwenu joining us here.
Are the Jets wearing theirs?
No. But they're like
they're not, right?
No. So one
they alternate because the Bills wore theirs against the Pats, right? But the Pats didn't wear theirs.
Correct. So
what?
I think
what's the point of that?
When they have these games, both teams don't wear the new uniforms, which would be cool.
Right.
Who told us they like the Color Rush uniforms? Is that Milton Williams?
I've
never heard that before in my life. Yeah, thumbs up. He's like, I love the Color Rush.
Some were
like those mustard Jacksonville Jaguars ones. He was
those ones.
That's my color.
Well, everybody had one though, but it's same thing. Like there was a wide scale. Some of those were pretty good. Some of them were for sure not.
But I guess the point is, in those games, both teams were wearing them, which is what they should do with these uniforms.
Yeah.
Why aren't they doing that?
I would think it's a no brainer, especially on like Thursday night where it's the only game in town. You want to showcase these new bad boys just so people could rush to the NFL shop and
get them. The Rams are randomly wearing theirs on a Sunday. I thought they were all on Thursday.
No. That was Color Rush. Color Rush was a Thursday thing.
No, because the Pats, Keith's right. When the Pats and Bills played, Sunday night.
Yeah, and the Bills were there.
Oh,
then.
I forgot about that.
So look, they're going to look good.
Time.
Look good and play good.
The Rams one isn't. It's just like
a regular
game against random Seahawks.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But it's a look good, play good situation for the Patriots this weekend.
Oh, for sure.
Against the Jets. Now remember, and I'd forgotten about this till Nick brought it up after the show yesterday. I forgot Vrabel even interviewed with the Jets back in early January. January 3rd, he was hired here. On September 12th.
They probably should have offered him more money.
I'm sorry, January 12th. They probably should have upped that a little bit.
Yeah.
And it does make you wonder how things could have gone differently. Like, for instance, Keith, Mike Vrabel, not my number one choice, not your number one choice. You like Ben Johnson. I like Liam Cohen, who I think both have done good jobs so far. Ben Johnson, 6-3 in the playoffs. Liam Cohen is 5-4. They're clinging to a playoff spot.
Yep.
So... I think if the Patriots went with either of those guys, they'd be in okay shape.
Yeah.
I think they'd have a winning record, just like those teams have winning records. Drake May, the breakout was happening, whether it was Vrabel and McDaniels or whomever. I think the breakout was happening independent of coaching. McDaniels getting a ton out of him. Mm-hmm. Vrabel's getting a ton out of him. I think either way the breakout was happening, and if it happened, you'd be a good team. But I don't think I can make a case, and I wouldn't make a case, they'd be better off with Ben Johnson or Liam Cohen than how it's gone with Mike Vrabel. I think they'd be good. The other guys who got hired this offseason, Kellen Moore, Pete Carroll, Brian Schottenheimer, and then the guy on the other side, Aaron Glenn, this weekend. So I think this matchup is an opportunity to look back and be reminded how much they nailed this pick, even though there were people like us who didn't really want Vrabel or at least didn't have him at the top of our list.
Yeah, he seemed like the obvious choice for Kraft. He seemed like kind of a safe choice from the list of candidates, right? Because it's pretty much... the exception of Pete Carroll, who's like the extreme, is the oldest coach in the league. Everybody else was a rookie head coach. And you wonder if part of the, the Gerard Mayo experience was, all right, we don't want that. We don't want a guy in his first year. Not that those guys can't be successful, but it was like, we just tried that, so let's go somewhere else. So they got Vrabel. I think you start out with a pretty high floor. And now I feel like the ceiling's way higher than I envisioned, right? Like, I'm not surprised that he has them, like, on the same page. Like, I think... you saw it in Tennessee. He took a team with Ryan Tannehill to the AFC Championship game. So there was like, all right, there's a body of work there. It's good. Now, it didn't end great. I'm not going to even put it all on him, though. Your GM's trading A.J. Brown for nothing. Like, that's not going to really result in, you know, your team going right back to the AFC title game. So he's going to have a little bit more say here, like in the roster construction, than he did when he was in Tennessee. And it was going to be, all right, what do the coordinators look like? What's the free agents look like and all that? But out of all the guys that were hired, he stands above everybody else. I don't think you can really look at Johnson and Cohen, though, and, like, clown on them. Like,
no.
Every one of these guys took over a bad spot, right? That's why the job was available to begin with. And right now, all three of those guys would be in the playoffs. Now, I wouldn't bet that Liam Cohen is at the end of the year, but through 10 weeks, he's in the playoffs, as is Ben Johnson. The other four, you know, they got their work cut out for them. They, again, all taking varying degrees of bad spots, but, I mean, I can't imagine the Raiders thought they'd be 2-7 after 9 games, especially after going 1-0 against the Patriots week 1. Like, this thing, that's bottoming out a little bit quicker than you thought. But
so I think one thing I understood with Vrabel is he could, if it hit, he would come in and he would build a culture and he'd be a leader of men. The way you said it earlier, Keith, he wouldn't be a glorified coordinator. He's a head coach of the football team. He's not one of these guys who's buried in a play sheet or focused on one side of the ball or the other. So I think all those pluses, I at least understood were in play with Vrabel, and there was a chance it could happen quickly. I didn't expect this, but I thought if you were going to get something out of him, there was a real chance you'd get it quicker than the Ben Johnsons or Liam Cohen, first-time head coaches, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
What I didn't really see coming at all was how good he, and I think it's fair to give him credit for it, how good he's been on personnel. Like, we briefly mentioned this earlier in the show.
They've kind of nailed it, haven't they?
They have very few, if any, personnel misses, right? Uh-huh. Like, their draft we were talking about the other day as the best in how long. And they finally are starting to get a contribution from Kyle Williams, and Henderson has showed up in the last three games. And those guys were pretty lacking, I thought, in the first chunk of the year. But if you're going to get something out of them, on top of Campbell and Wilson and the kicker Borgalis and Craig Woodson, who's been a starter from day one, it's a really good draft class. Free agency is the same way. Like, there aren't really – are there any whiffs? Like, Spillane, I was pretty underwhelmed with to start the year.
So, running back, they didn't do anything. Wide receiver, they got Steph Diggs and Mac Hollins, both been good.
Great.
Offensive line, they got Garrett Bradbury and Morgan Moses, both been good. Defensively, they got the Milkman, they got Harold Landry, they got Robert Spillane, they got Chasen, who's been really good.
I mean,
Carlton Davis maybe hasn't been as good as I thought.
He's been a little underwhelming. That's a fair one.
But
Spillane was underwhelming to start the year, but he's been way
better.
And
turned it around.
Like, they don't really have any personnel misses. Yeah. And that's something that I definitely didn't see coming with Vrabel.
No, because everybody that brings in that many players is always going to have a few misses. Always.
And so the text line has brought this up a couple of different times. Guys, it's hard to say the Patriots would be in a similar spot or still a good team because Vrabel was in charge of a lot of the guys they brought in.
Yeah, that's why I think it is tough because maybe you could say, well, McDaniels would still be the OC, and maybe you still have Steph Diggs because Diggs never played for Vrabel. Diggs was still available, didn't cost a ton. McDaniel's brother worked with him, so that might have been the connection for him. Milkman, you just spent the most money on. But, like, Spillane and Landry, I don't think you get.
No.
And then who knows with some of the other guys.
But, look, while they've all been great personnel moves, the reason the Patriots are 8-2, the main reason, if you got to boil it down, is the breakout in year two from the quarterback. And I think that was happening either way. So I think they'd still be good, but it's worth revisiting with the Patriots taking on the Jets, who interviewed Vrabel earlier this offseason, and now they're sitting there with Aaron Glenn at 2-7. 617-779-7937. More evidence of how locked in the Patriots are. You heard some of it with Mike Onwenu. He's like, yeah, we're aware of what's going on in the AFC, but they're mostly locked in at this point in time. More evidence of that. Plus, Rob Bradford from the GM meetings in Vegas is going to join us at 1 o'clock.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Stay tuned. That was Mike Vrabel discussing some of the Patriots' leadership. He went to him and said, hey, guys, I can save you 25 minutes. Cut this out, cut that out, yeah. Get rid of this meeting.
Sounds good. 25 more free minutes?
Leadership's like, no,
you
no,
can
no,
watch
no,
a
no.
whole episode of The Chair Company.
I hear it. Stick around for the ending of
definitely
the
definitely watch the end.
So leadership says, no, we want to keep doing what's important and stay true to what we've been doing this year. Mm-hmm. They've won 7 in a row. They're 8-2. Why mess with it? And I think that's another sign where if you're worried about this being a trap game or if you're worried about a quick turnaround or a letdown against the Jets, I'm not. Mm-hmm. And that's before I even heard stuff like this from Vrabel yesterday. Like, it feels like they're still focused, bought in, locked in, however you want to put it. And I think that's a good sign for the team big picture and specifically a good sign for this week.
Yeah, I agree. Because, like, every week since the Bills game, we've seen it. There's been, like, a chance for, like, a let up or a chance. Because each week, too, as it grows, it's, oh, they are a playoff team. Oh, they could win the division. Oh, they could, you know, go to the Super Bowl. Like, people are getting pretty crazy with this stuff, like MVP favorite, coach of the year favorite. And so it would be easy to kind of get off your stance or get off track a little bit and stumble to one of these teams that's not as good, right? Because after the Bills game, you played a handful of bad teams, you beat all of them. And then you actually had a real test against Tampa Bay, beat them too. And so now I'm not thinking like, oh, this is a team that kind of yo-yos, has like a good week and a bad week, or like two good weeks and then a bad week. Like, they've been pretty locked in now for a while.
Yeah, so I think that's good. And I think, again, the players are bought in and you've seen it. And it's easy to buy in when you're winning every week and you're at the top of the AFC and you're a Super Bowl contender and you might have the MVP. Like, I agree, it's easier to buy in that spot. But I don't see any signs of a letdown. Mm-hmm. Like, I have zero, I give the Jets 0% chance of winning this week. I thought the New Orleans game had the signs of a letdown game. I thought the Browns game at home against a good defense, maybe that one could get ugly. Other than that, they've taken care of business in all these games, and even the ones where I thought could have been a little difficult, they pulled that out. I'm looking at some of the pictures coming out of the Rob Gronkowski press conference that wrapped up.
Uh-huh.
Did you think it would be a little more star-studded for a guy like Gronk? I'm looking at a photo here.
What are you
here.
Talking about? Seems pretty star-studded to me. Couple of WEEI guests.
Former Patriots players in attendance for Rob Gronkowski's
Gronk
retirement ceremony.
Yeah. One-day contract. Well, it's not like a retirement ceremony more. It's more...
Yeah, it's a one-day contract signing. You're right.
One-day contract signing, quick press conference, and like a thank you. So Robert Kraft...
Aaron, hello.
Yes, Robert Kraft started and introduced him, and then Gronk came out there.
And then there were a few ex-players in...
Who do you got?
...in attendance.
Who's at the dais?
I see Nink.
Rob Ninkovich, yeah, he said he was going on his way in there after this.
He did.
Yep.
David Andrews.
Good one.
And Brian Hoyer.
Great. Where's Edelman?
Well, right.
Where's Edelman?
And where's Jules?
Honestly, where's like where's
we do
Brady?
A podcast together. They see each other all the time.
Where's Brady?
Where's Nikki Glaser? Oh, I guess this wasn't a roast, but they had.
Like, I don't know. I thought it might be a little more star-studded than that. I didn't honestly
think star-studded.
I didn't honestly think Brady would be there.
No,
it's just a couple guys that live around the stadium.
Yeah. It is the guys that live close.
Yeah. And call Fourier?
They got a lunch out of
like,
it.
Like, honestly.
Yeah, why wasn't he there?
I don't know. I'm a little.
No, that's true.
Underwhelmed.
That's true.
I think.
What did you think Brady was going to be there?
Not honestly Brady, but like Edelman, yes. I thought Edelman would be there.
He's probably busy.
Is he?
I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
He's got a podcast and Fox to prepare for.
That's right. He's still doing Fox,
that's
right?
That's true. That's a little.
But they're probably like, you know what? We'll all go when you get inducted in the Hall of Fame. Maybe they feel like I do, where a one-day contract is the dumbest thing in sports. Maybe they feel that. Now, I don't. Listen, if he wants to do it, he can do it. But he can't be like, I'm forever and only a Patriot.
I just
wrong. You want a Super Bowl with the Bucs just like Tom Brady.
I just think when it's Hoyer, Andrews, and Nink, maybe just say, let's just not do the photo op. If it was Edelman and Brady with Gronk, I'd say do the photo op. Otherwise, I'd be like, hey, guys, I'll see you at lunch. Me and Robert are just going to take the photo. That's probably all we need.
Yeah, like, pop up. Any other former? They're like looking through the crowd. Any other former Patriots? Anybody else want to come up here?
Wiggy's like banging on the front door.
Yeah, why is Wiggy not there?
Good question. Again, they didn't play together, but.
So? It's like the history of the Patriots and a fellow tight end? That would have been good.
Wiggy would take the picture.
I know.
Yeah.
Wes Welker couldn't go?
No,
he's probably not allowed.
No, probably not.
What was it?
They should have told Vrabel, like, Vrabel, you at least got to get in the picture. You at least got to come down here.
Soy what? That's like what Hogdale was calling Breslow, I think.
You're trying to say Yo Soy Fiesta.
No, I got it.
But that worked.
Speaking of Breslow.
No, Hog was calling Wolf that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Wolf.
Soy sauce.
Wolf, not Breslow.
It was Wolf.
But it very well could have been about Craig Breslow.
Oh, sure.
Brad Foe has been talking to Breslow, Bragg.
Yeah.
The last couple of days at the GM meetings out in Vegas. Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, going to join us coming up next.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Yeah. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.